Coming up this weekend in Oak Ridge, it's the second annual Flatwater Tales Storytelling Festival. I talked to two of the storytellers that are coming, Bill Lepp from Charleston, West Virginia. He's the winner of the West Virginia State Liars Contest. He's a five-time winner. I don't know if that's true or not. And also talked to Carmen Agraditi, who works a lot with children, but people of all ages. She is from Georgia, but was born in Cuba. Carmen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. How are you?
I feel happy. I don't know why. I just sort of feel that way today.
Because stories are coming your way.
Yeah, and I know I hate to do this to you. I really kind of almost hate to do this to you, but I got a story for you.
Oh no, that's wonderful.
Okay.
I'd love to hear that.
I'm sure. Do people come up to you all the time and go, "I've got a story"?
You know what? Here's the interesting thing. Not that as often as you would think, but if you tell stories and you really do love doing it, you likely started out as a listener. So it's a wonderful thing. You know what I was preparing for? I had girded my loins. I thought you were going to say, "I hate to do this. Will you tell me a story?" And I don't mind, but I do them all the time. I'm delighted to hear that you're going to tell one. You're going to tell me one. So
well,
let me hear it.
Okay. Well, it's short.
Okay.
So I was preparing for this interview, and I was really having a nice time doing so. I was watching your TED Talk.
And, oh, mercy.
Yeah, well, I loved it. And because I was thinking, okay, this interview's coming up pretty soon. I got the TED Talk going. And then, you know, I better check my email just for a second. And then I need to go to Carmen's wiki page. And at some point in the TED Talk, you're talking to me like, "Hey, listen. Put down the devices and listen." And it was really, I mean, it was just like a little moment of enlightenment. I quit looking at everything else. I turned everything else off. And I listened to your TED Talk, which really is about a lot of things, but it's really about listening. And I needed to hear that.
Thank you for that story. You know, what's interesting is I really don't believe we'll ever stop telling stories. But if there's anything that we may be more susceptible to in this day and age is the ability to sit and listen to a story, one narrative at one time. And I do the same thing. I go to read an article, before I know it, I'm hyperlinking and I'm three articles deep and I haven't finished one. Isn't that amazing? And it's so much a part of our daily life. Or someone is speaking and we're listening for about a minute. And then we start thinking of this other thing that we have to do or ways that we can insert ourselves and sort of, you know, promote our own story. I'd like to blame it all on social media. I mean, it really would. I would. It would be so rewarding. And it has, I think, a lion's share of the fault because it's so easy now to be your own writer and editor and promoter. You have a Twitter page, you have a Facebook page, you have Instagram, you have all the many different new, I mean, they're like mushrooms, they just pop up everywhere, ways that we can put out there, I think, this. And then comments come, and sometimes they don't even matter to the person who's posting anymore. Sometimes they engage, sometimes they don't. But it's really all about satisfying that ego. And, you know, there's a lot of dopamine that comes when we get those little up. And I do some of this. I have to. It's my job as a children's author to keep up at least one form of social media. So I do it. And, you know, if I post something and has lovely reactions, I just get this giddy fourth grade kind of, ooh. But what does it all mean, really? Where's the story? What did I learn? What did they learn? What? We're only here to learn, and we're here such a brief amount of time. And I think what I love about narrative time, more than anything else about story, is that nothing comforts like a story. Nothing teaches like a story. Every great teacher, from Abelard to Aesop to all the bodies of stories, the Indian Panchatantra, the Talmudic teaching stories, the biblical stories, the fools of Chaim, I think they're called Chaim. I may be mispronouncing that. Another great story about laughing at oneself. those stories have been our intellectual food as humans, not for just decades or centuries, but millennia. It's how we fed our brains. The neural pathways that were created, they required that we stop and that we listen and that we pay attention. Even if for a moment we sort of list away, we come back because only the great stories survive. The really ancient stories that are still around are around because they're just that good. And we love them, or we recognize them, or we know that Iago is a think and he still, you know, works in our office. Or we know that greedy character from Aesop that falls into the water reaching for the grapes, because that's us. I think we'll always need stories. I just hope we continue to learn that very difficult thing, which is to just stop and listen. And look at you. I'm glad it was my story you listened to, but I would have been any story. How wonderful that you had that moment.
And I wonder, given everything you've said, is a storytelling festival the perfect place for people just to pause and listen? I mean, it seems like phones go off, but the intent of even coming there must be to listen.
It is a listening festival, but this crazy, wonderful, ridiculous thing happens. And as far as phones going off, they request, please put them on silent, you know, just as if you were at the symphony or the theater or anything else. The thing about going to a place where you are not just listening to a story, you're part of a collective. You're part of this huge room of people all listening to the same story. As the story unfolds, people begin to settle in. If someone whispers after a while, they come back and they stop. And this incredible, it kind of has a name. This is my work, so I love researching it. There's something called neural syncing, and it's when all the minds in one place start to sync and follow the same story. And it only applies to narrative. And that happens. It happens when there's a great story. People are either laughing or they're very quiet. But no matter what, they're committed. And when it's done, here's the part that's wonderful. And, you know, maybe there's a break in between sessions, or it's the end of the evening or whatever. It doesn't get quiet in the room. I taught, it becomes this like this cacophony of people start telling each other stories or talking about the story, but usually they're telling their own. That happened to me when I was in the fourth grade. Oh my goodness. I went down that slide and it was like going down an iron skillet, because it was the dead of summer in Georgia and it was 20 feet long. No, it was 30 feet long. And there is nothing that to me I love as much as watching that happen when the story's done. Because I go to schools. And about 90 schools a year. And in the schools that happens, like, it's like flipping a switch. You know, you finish the story, if it's a good story, if it's a good telling, if I've had a good day, you know, those are the quantifiers. But I mean, when it happens, the kids start to chatter. And usually the teachers are like, what just happened? And I'm like, I promise, it's absolutely wonderful. It's supposed to happen. I know you need to quiet them out, you know, quiet them down before they leave, but give them a couple of minutes, because they're talking the story through, and that's how they're going to remember it in order to retell it.
Carmen Agriditi, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoyed it, and we'll see you this weekend in Oak Ridge at the Flatwater Tells Storytelling Festival.
Well, I am a Cuban woman reared in the South, so por favor, y'all come, okay? And thank you. I'm sorry about my scratchy voice. I'm getting over a bad cold, but I'm great. I'm fighting fit for the festival. So see you there. Thank you, Todd.
Bill Lepp is an American storyteller, a 5-time winner of the West Virginia State Liars Contest. Bill, how do I know that's true? How do I know you're not lying about being the winner of a lying contest?
Well, if I was lying, I'd say that I won it more than 5 times.
Is that a tough competition? Are people in West Virginia generally really great liars?
Yeah, we usually have about 20 people that show up for the contest any given year. And, yeah, it's pretty tough. There's a not everybody works as hard at it as some others do, but, you know, the people that do work hard, there's probably about 10 people that really work hard, and it's generally a pretty tight conversation.
I've got a lot of my friends, I think, that have been training for it without realizing.
Yeah.
Now, you're coming to Oak Ridge to the Flatwater Tales Storytelling Festival. Have you spent much time at all in East Tennessee or in this area? I know you go to Jonesboro.
Right, yeah, I go to Jonesboro just about every year, and I did the Flatwater Festival last year, so that was my first time in Oak Ridge, as far as I can remember.
I wonder, like, you know, you travel a lot, and you do a lot of festivals, and you probably run into a lot of the same storytellers. When you guys are and gals are sitting around hotels in the evening, do you swap stories there, or is that just too much shop?
Usually by that point, we're kind of tired of hearing each other on stage. So we talk about other things.
You still live in Charleston, West Virginia?
South Charleston, but yeah.
Yeah. And do you ever do the Mountain Stage program? And if so, can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I was on it three times in, I think, 2018 and maybe 2017 and 2018. Maybe I was on it once this year. Anyway, I hosted it one time, and I was a featured artist on it twice. So, yeah, I've done that, and that's a, you know, that's a great thing we have here in West Virginia that was started, oh, gosh, a long time ago, and, you know, brings out a lot of great musicians to West Virginia and gives people an opportunity to hear a lot of live music.
I noticed there are a lot of photos of you with a Minnesota Twins hat. Would you explain that, please?
Well, my buddy Kevin Kling, who's a storyteller out of Minnesota, gave me a Minnesota Twins hat one time, and then I wore it until I wore it out, and then he was sort of embarrassed by it, so he got me another one. And so for several years, I was wearing Twins caps. I really don't have any other connection to them than that.
Do people ever come up to you and say, oh, I also love the Minnesota Twins so much?
Well, yeah, I started to follow them. You know, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I started to follow the Twins just in case people did come up to me and say those sorts of things. I would at least have some idea. Like, I know, for example, right now if they're in first place, but that's about all I could tell you about them right now.
When you meet people when you're traveling and they ask you what you do for a living, do you just say, I'm a storyteller, or do you have another spiel that you lay on them?
It depends on how much of a conversation I want to have about what storytelling is. sometimes I don't feel like having the conversation, but yeah, I generally tell people I'm a storyteller, or sometimes I'll just say a comedian or an entertainer or a humorist or, you know, something like that, because a lot of people don't know what storytelling is, so you do have to explain it. So sometimes I just take the easy route and tell them I'm a public speaker or something like that.
Bill Lepp is an American storyteller, and he is coming to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and that will be in just a few days at the Flatwater Tales Storytelling Festival, Friday, May 31st through Saturday, June 1st. Bill, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks for having me.